Well, our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. And we won't read the whole chapter, but we're going to read a lot. And we'll come back to different parts in Acts chapter 2 as we go through the sermon. So Acts chapter 2, we'll start at verse 1 and we'll read down to verse 14. And then we're going to jump to verse 33 and read to 41. So Acts chapter 2. All right, people of God, this is God's very word. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, and said to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia." Oh, I practiced this at home, I swear I did. "Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocked and said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." Now let's jump down to verse 33. "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And there ends the reading of God's word. So this morning, we do celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is a very high day in the church calendar. It's a day when the kingdom of God becomes reality, not only for the Jewish people, but for all people. For those who are afar off, the scripture says. But when you think about Pentecost, when I say that word Pentecost, what comes into your minds? Does your mind jump to that rushing wind? Does your mind jump to the tongues of fire? What about the speaking in different tongues? Is that where our minds go when I say the word Pentecost? You know, some hear that word Pentecost and they only think about Pentecostals, the denomination of the church. When I say Pentecost, you think just of the gifts of the Spirit. When you take a step back and think about Pentecost, do you ever think about why it's 50 days after Easter? The timing of Pentecost. Is that even important? Now, as I was studying Pentecost this week, Pentecost is when the people of Israel celebrate the Feast of Weeks. Is there a reason that Jesus chose this day to pour out his Spirit? And this morning, I want us to see the significance of Pentecost. Not for the reasons that we might think Pentecost is important, but how did Jesus see this day? How did Jesus see Pentecost? Yes, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church on Pentecost. And yes, the power to go to the ends of the earth with the gospel has arrived. But if we just stop there, I believe we're missing a lot about how important Pentecost is. This day, Pentecost shows us that Jesus is King. This day shows us that Jesus is literally reigning from the throne in heaven. And that's going to be our theme today. This morning's service and even tonight's service. Tonight's sermon on Lord's Day 19 will expand this idea of Jesus reigning from Psalm 110. But this morning, I don't want us to think about tonight. I want us to think about right now. This morning, we have 3 points. The first is just a background of the significance of this day, Pentecost, on the Jewish calendar. Point two is this day points to fulfilled prophecy. And the third point this morning is Jesus as King. Because, beloved, Jesus himself answers the question and the meaning of Pentecost. Jesus himself answers the question and meaning of Pentecost. When he said this, he said, "When the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak of me." When the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak of me. So what's the significance of this day in the Jewish calendar? Point one. Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, in Hebrew it's the Shavuot, is the second major festival in Israel's calendar, the first being Passover. The Feast of Weeks is exactly 7 weeks later than Passover. From the beginning of the day after Passover, the Israelites counted 49 more days, and then they celebrated the Feast of Weeks. And because it fell on the 50th day after Passover, we get Pentecost. One thing to remember is that Pentecost is an agricultural festival. The Israelites presented to the Lord 2 loaves of bread at the beginning and at the end. 2 loaves of bread made from fine flour, baked with leaven, as the first fruits of the wheat harvest. You think about, okay, but that wasn't the only thing they offered. Listen to this. When the Feast of Weeks began, that day after Passover, this is what they offered. 1 bull, 2 rams, 7 lambs, along with a sin offering of a male goat, 2 male lambs for a peace offering. That's a lot of offerings. See, Passover and Pentecost would mark the beginning and the end of the grain harvest. And it was so important to them that the Lord put in his word what he needed to do for the Lord to bless them. They needed to give these offerings. Not only the offerings for the harvest, but for their sin. Did you catch that? They still had to make a sin offering. They still had to make a peace offering. The first sheaf of the barley harvest was presented to the Lord one day after Passover. And the last sheaf of the wheat harvest was given 50 days later. You're like, okay, that's what Passover is all, or Pentecost is all about. Let's move on. But there's more. To the Jewish people, there was more to Pentecost. Pentecost represented to the people of Israel the giving of the law. See, Pentecost came to celebrate the anniversary of the start of the covenant at Sinai. See, this comes up a lot later in non-scriptural books of the Jews, like Jubilees and the Babylonian Talmud. But Jewish scholars said, no, this is more important than that. We can find this in Scripture. And so they did. In Exodus 19, Moses writes this. He tells them that the Israelites arrived in the wilderness of Sinai in the third month after they left Egypt. Since they left on the day after Passover in the middle of the first month, 50 days later, they landed up in Sinai and got the law. And in 2 Chronicles, the chronicler describes the gathering in Jerusalem during the third month where the covenant was celebrated and renewed. And this is important because Chronicles is written after the exile of Babylon. So the Jews were still practicing the Feast of Weeks. They were still practicing Pentecost. Now you're probably thinking to yourself, Pastor Ogle, that was very boring. Why do we need to learn that? But here's the thing. Pentecost is a feast where every able-bodied Jewish male had to be in Jerusalem to celebrate. It's that important to them. And what was the question that they asked when all this started happening that morning? They said, what could this mean? See, they're there to worship God in their way. But Jesus looked at this day differently. See, the crowds are there. They said up to 1 million people could be in Jerusalem on that day to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, to celebrate Pentecost. And they're there getting ready to celebrate, and then all of a sudden something happens. The Holy Spirit is poured out. There's sound of rushing wind. They see all these, looks like flames on the heads of these people in this upper room. And they start speaking in languages they had never heard of. And the crowd doesn't say, oh, wow, that's neat. No, they said, whatever could this mean? Right now, all these Jews from all over the known world are hearing about Jesus in their own home language. And it says they're amazed and they're perplexed. Right? They're amazed because these Galileans have all of a sudden become fluent in a language and dialect they have never heard of. But they're also perplexed because they know this is a God thing happening in Jerusalem. See, remember what we've talked about before. The Old Testament people were a people of promise and fulfillment. They looked for promise and fulfillment in their scriptures. That's how God worked for them, that he would give a promise and God would fulfill it. And now these people in their minds are seeing these things happening and they're thinking, wait, what's going on? Whatever could this mean? So in their minds, this is the question that they ask. They're scouring their minds through their Old Testament, thinking, what's being fulfilled right now? And that leads us to our second point, fulfilled prophecy. See, that's the first thing we see Peter dealing with. Prophecy. But Peter, dealing with the crowd, what the youth of today would call the haters, if you saw that, others mocking, wow, they're just full of new wine. Really, the crowd's saying, these guys are drunk up there. Peter stands up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 a.m. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." See, Peter tells not only those who don't believe, who are mocking, but he tells everybody else in the crowd, this is way bigger than you realize. Peter's telling them, prophecy is being fulfilled. He takes them to Joel 2. What does Joel 2 say? The beginning of the last days. The kingdom of God is at hand, Joel 2 tells us. And not only for the Jews, that's a huge thing, but for everyone. Joel 2 tells us all flesh, the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, not just Jews, but Jews and Gentiles. But I want us to look a little bit closer to what Peter's saying this morning. I want us to see how Peter sets this up to tell them about the last day. Notice who Peter is addressing throughout this sermon. See, I read the sections this morning to show us who he was speaking to. The first group, he says, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. Then when you drop down to verse 22, he says to the next group, men of Israel, hear my words. Do you think he just did it on purpose? Or do you think he had a reason behind why he chose those things to call this crowd? First he says, men of Judea, men of Judah. Then he says, men of Israel. Where do our minds go? Divided kingdom. Old Testament. Do you remember the prophecy from Jeremiah about the new covenant? About the prophecy about the last days? I'm going to read it to you because I believe this is what Peter has in mind when he addresses the crowd. Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of by the hand and led them out of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See, going back to Acts 2, we can see that if this isn't Peter's idea, the Holy Spirit definitely wants the crowd to know this. Because there's not two people of God. There's always one people of God. Even though they were split. Because in verse 36, Peter says the same words as Jeremiah. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know. See, in the end, Israel was not going to stay two, but one. See, that would have stuck in that crowd's mind. Remember their question, whatever could this mean? Peter's answering it for them. See, Peter uses Joel 2, and he uses Jeremiah. And then Peter goes to David from Psalm 16 and Psalm 110. Peter uses David to point to who? Jesus. The first prophecy is about the resurrection, Psalm 16. Then Peter uses Psalm 110 to talk about Jesus reigning and ruling from heaven. I don't want to go too much into that. I want you to come back tonight because that's what we're going to talk about, Psalm 110. And what would Jesus do when he would reign from heaven? Peter tells us this in verse 32 this morning. This Jesus God had raised up, from which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Not only is Peter telling them that the Old Testament prophecy are coming true, but he's telling them now that New Testament prophecy is coming true. He's telling them, this is what Jesus said he would do. The things that are happening, Jesus said, this is what's going to happen when I reign as king in heaven. Jesus told them these exact words. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit when I reign as king. See, the apostles knew this was going to happen. This shouldn't have been a shock to them. They might have not known how it was going to happen, but they knew it would happen. Listen to this from the Gospel of John. This is Jesus speaking. But when the Helper comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you, Mary speaking to the disciples here, will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. See, the apostles knew this was going to happen. Jesus set them up for this to happen. Jesus says this later. He says, truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come in power. The kingdom of God come in power. Pentecost. The Holy Spirit being poured out on the people of God. See, what's all this pointing to? Jesus reigning and ruling from heaven. Jesus is the Son of David. Jesus is the King of Israel. And that leads us to our final point this morning. Jesus is King. Going back to that question, it's such an important question from the crowd. Whatever could this mean? See, beloved, of course Pentecost is about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're not trying to diminish that. And of course it's about the church receiving power to take the gospels to the end of the earth. See, we're not diminishing that either. But what's it really about? What did this day mean to Jesus? It showed that he truly was sitting on the throne in heaven. And that's what Peter's trying to get across to this crowd. This whole sermon that Peter gives isn't pointed to the Holy Spirit. It isn't pointed to the disciples. It's pointed to Christ. This whole sermon's about Jesus. See, all over the New Testament, every time we read about somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit, these people don't talk about the gifts that they have. They don't talk about the Holy Spirit himself. No. When someone's filled with the Holy Spirit, they talk about Jesus. They preach the good news of Christ. Going back to the Gospel of John, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, he will testify of me. Again, in the Gospel of John, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. You kind of see the pattern here? The Holy Spirit isn't about himself. It doesn't make you be more about you as a Christian. You're going to have all these gifts and you're going to go out in power. The Holy Spirit's job is to tell you about Christ and what he's done. And that's what Peter tells this crowd. Verse 36 of Acts chapter 2. This is what Peter tells them. Therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ, both King and Messiah. This whole time, Peter, through the Holy Spirit, was leading them, not to the Holy Spirit, not to them, but to Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. See, Peter is filled with the Spirit. So what do you think he's going to say? He's going to tell them about Jesus. The Holy Spirit isn't about talking about himself. The Holy Spirit always points to Christ. Jesus tells us this about the Spirit. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And if you're reading through Acts chapter 2, what's the next thing that happens? Verse 37. Now when they heard this, this is the crowd now, after Peter answered their question, whatever could this mean? The crowd says this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It went from whatever could this mean to what shall we do? Think about that. Peter, filled with the Spirit, answered the question for them, didn't he? He took him right to where the answer was, Jesus Christ. And the crowd, once they figured this out, once they figured out what was going on, the only thing left to do is what? Bend the knee to the king. Peter says this in verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. I'm glad he added those last sentences, aren't you? The promise was for the crowd. The crowd's a Jewish crowd there. The promise is for you and for your children because the covenant's the same covenant. Promises go to our kids. But for those who are far off, not Jews, and as many as the Lord our God will call. If you're in Christ, that's you. He called you. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. I love that. Then those who gladly received his word. You can only gladly receive the word once you have faith, once you've been regenerated. Pentecost. Whatever does this mean? So, what shall we do? Pentecost. What does this day mean to Jesus? See, I hope this morning we saw the significance of Pentecost. I hope we saw Pentecost from a different perspective than what we're used to. See, I hope we saw how Jesus saw this day. Reigning, ruling, king. Yes, the Holy Spirit's been poured out on the church. Yes, the gospel goes to the ends of the earth. But that only happens because Jesus is sitting on the throne. See, everything points back to Jesus. That's what Pentecost is about. That's what we need to remember when we read Acts chapter 2. It was all about Jesus, you guys. It was all about Jesus, beloved. Because Jesus answers the question himself when he says this. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak of me. And that's what Peter showed them this morning, and that's what Peter showed us this morning. And I pray that you take this with you when you leave to remember the Holy Spirit speaks of Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you this morning and we thank you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you that he rules and reigns. We thank you that he poured out his Spirit onto the church, that the gospel can go forth. Because if it wouldn't have happened, we wouldn't have heard it. And we wouldn't be saved right now. But help us to remember that it isn't about the Holy Spirit. But it's about your Son. It's about Christ and what he's done. Lord, help us to remember whatever could this mean leads to fulfilled prophecy. Jesus reigning. And that leads to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that leads to conversion and faith and repentance. Oh, Lord, you're so good to your people. Help us to remember that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.